our kids are going to work out their own, like we say, our kids are going to work out their own stupid. They got to figure out their own sin. They got to figure out that. And I would rather my kids, I remember as a pastor praying this, is like, and as a parent, not just as a pastor, but as a parent, I would tell this to the congregation that whatever it takes for them to understand God's grace, I want them to go through that.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Ann Wilson.
And I'm Dave Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today. So parenting the teen years for us was it decades ago? It was over a decade ago when our three boys were teenagers. So here's my question to you.
Just a little, yeah.
What words come to your mind when you think of those years? Give me one or two words.
All right. First one would be fun. Like, I loved parenting teenagers. It was probably my favorite stage. Another word I would say is worrisome. I worried a lot. And the only other word that I come up with just quickly is it was super humbling. Because they're like a mirror, and they tell you all the things that they don't like about you, or that you've done wrong, or the things they're doing and the wrong decisions they're making. It's just super humbling. Would you agree with some of those?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't worry at all, and I should have. I was like, they're making all kinds of great decisions, and they weren't. And
they made good decisions.
They
too.
Made some really good decisions, but I was also clueless. But you know, we are 20 years removed. I just thought Cody's 33. So we're, you know, between 15 and 20 years removed from that. But we've got a couple in the studio. Brian and Jen Gomez are here. You guys aren't that far away from the teen years. You don't have a teenager literally anymore. But
No, we do.
We got a teenager. Hey, don't call us too old. Yeah.
What's your youngest?
We have a 16-year-old
in the
house.
I thought I was 18.
No.
It's still a teenager,
though. That's a teenager.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We've got right in the middle of the teenage years.
Yeah, he
with
just
our
got
youngest.
His driver's license. So talk about worrisome.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
you're relating to these words.
Yes, absolutely. And humbling and all of that. Yeah. Fun.
And fun.
It's fun. Yeah, I think those are all three great words.
We got this idea, actually, from a blog article by Tim Challies. Listen to this quote. Many people cautioned me about the teenage years. They told me horror stories based on their own experiences and then assured me that I should prepare myself for all kinds of difficulties and all kinds of sorrows. They were wrong, at least in our case. They were wrong.
I think the thing we end up feeling is we put so much weight. I still struggle with this. I put a lot of weight on when my kids do really, really bad, that it's all my fault.
Yes.
And I probably put too much weight on when they're, you know, we take too much credit when they do wrong, and we take too much credit when they do really, really great.
Yeah.
That, and it just shows us that we're probably making our kids to be an idol, that so much of it relates back to just us. And God created us in his image. It's like there's times where I wanted to create my kids in my image. Like I want them to be how I want them, expect them to be, how they should look, how athletic they should be. And if they don't achieve any of that, then it's all my fault. And so I think some of that shame and expectations, I think we can feel. And our kids are going to work out their own, like we say, our kids are going to work out their own stupid. They got to figure out their own sin. They got to figure out that. And I would rather my kids, I remember as a pastor praying this, is like, and as a parent, not just as a pastor, but as a parent, I would tell this to the congregation that whatever it takes for them to understand God's grace, I want them to go through that.
Yes.
Even if it means that they go through something that's going to be ultimately hurtful to them and us, I would rather them go through that than they be on the best behavior and we've got the perfect kids, the straight A's, they played in all the sports, they did all the things, and then at the end of it, they never actually found out what grace was about. They thought all Christianity was just being on good behavior. I wouldn't want that.
Hmm. I mean, as you think about the teen years as a parent, what was or what is your vision? What's your, like, do you have, like, a goal? Like, when we think about our kids, we are hoping this is the target we're sort of shooting for as parents.
That's a great question, Dave.
Yeah, I think it is seek first the kingdom.
Yeah. Mm.
Seek first the king, and all these other things will be added to you. That would be our goal.
Matthew 6.
But they have their own choice. And so we provide the environment where that is pleasing, where that's worked out, where reality happens, and we are always going back to our faith and falling on that, but we allow them to make their own decisions and love them through it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, seeking first, I think being able to be kids that and teens that actually become adults, that know what it means to work hard, that understand just the principles of good respect and those things where it's like, how do I... I'm not preparing my kids to be just my kids the rest of my life. It's like, ultimately, we want them to be prepared for marriage, for life, for how do I actually navigate this world in a way that ultimately isn't going to cause me more harm, you know? And so I think really just seeing these teen years as it's my opportunity to help prepare them for what's ahead. And I think too often we think I'm preparing them for college.
Yeah.
You know, I just need to get them to college. If I could just get them through school, and that's, again, that's important if your kids end up going to college, but then what? Are they prepared to actually love another human being well? Are they prepared to actually hold down a job and knows what it means to be able to work hard? And are they prepared to take responsibility, you know, and not just be consumers in this world? Mm-hmm. So I think that's some of our goals.
Those are some of our
goals.
You
know, here's something I just thought of. I don't know if you can do this, especially on air without thinking about it and even talking about it. But
I can't wait
for
this.
One of the things that Ann and I did way back, and it was in a series I was doing at church on parenting, was I encouraged families to say, take your last name and use those letters as an acrostic to say, what are the values of our home?
That's good. I know, like, the G.
Yeah, I was just going to say, could you do a Goins? Like, I'm trying to instill this in my sons and daughters.
Mm-hmm.
What, could you do it real quick?
I would say G would be grit.
Grit.
Mm. Grit is one of the things that our kids need, and more kids need grit. Mm. Grit means it's hard. Give them hard challenges. Give them things to do. Give them work to do. If they fail, don't try to protect them from failure or from a hard teacher or from a hard friendship or from a hard situation. Don't pull them out, because grit is one of the number one things that kids need as an adult.
I think G-O-I-N-S, own your faith, whatever it might be.
Ooh, that's
you know,
good.
If you don't necessarily believe in God, okay, well, own that. You know, be ready for the questions that are going to come with that. To be able to, like, how do you actually look at this world and how do you see it and perceive it? Let's own your faith. We made it a point that we were not going to press our kids towards baptism or, you know, towards making a decision.
We did the same.
Had to be on their terms. And again, for those that have been baptized early, and I was baptized at 9, I don't want to get into, you know, whether or not it's good or bad, but it's like, there's at some point where, like, are they doing it to please their parents?
Yeah.
Or are they doing it because they really have understood the gospel and what it means to be buried in his death and to identify with him in his life? And what does that mean for how I perceive the world? Is it just about getting to heaven? Or is it about going through hell if it means following Christ, you know, that I'm willing to follow him whatever it leads to. So I think owning your faith, I think would be invest in others. Mm-hmm. That it would be, how do we help?
Jen's shaking your head.
Yeah, like, shoot, I don't know an eye.
Yeah, you got to get ready for the end.
I know.
So I'll vamp here for you for just a second. But invest in others that they life really, and I think this is hard for me right now with our kids, especially with screens.
Yes.
That screens are training them for a lack of empathy, that they really aren't identifying with their world around them. And it's also it's investing in them to just always be on, to be entertained, to have noise, to not be ready to go, where are the needs that are around? It's invest in me.
It really is. Yeah.
And so how do I help them and put them in places where they invest in others? Getting them on mission trips, I think, is huge. Mm-hmm. Sending them to places where, you know, having them volunteer, whether it's a church or in your community. But even in the mornings, one thing that I try to tell Gibson every day is I used to say, have a great day. And it's like, no, make it a great day. Mm. And make somebody else's day great.
All right, Jen, you got the end?
No.
I thought you had it. I gave you a little bit of time.
The end's not an easy one.
No, and I was thinking.
Oh, we have an end, don't we?
You have an end?
What's your end? Give us an end so we can adopt it. I have the S.
I don't know what you're thinking.
I can't remember because we've done this.
We did more of a mission statement, but we did have W, work hard, I, integrity, L, love God and love others. O, overcome, and I think was never quit.
That's what I was going to put, yes. is never quit, but something. We have grit, which yeah, is kind of the same. Kind of,
I was going to say no one left behind and just like, you,
I like it.
Yeah. You.
Well, you say this a lot. I really appreciate, Jen will say like, who, is there anybody on your team that you feel like is a loner or, and she hates it when she goes into a school and sees a kid eating by himself at lunch.
I've been a substitute teacher. And then I also work, my church is with a school. And if I see kids eating alone, I don't know why. I will think about that the rest of the day, that poor child had to sit alone at school. And so I'm always telling Gibson, if there's someone who's by themselves, can you please, no one left behind, yeah. to, like, get them.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll be it. And then I think show gratitude. Or it could be serve, or, you know, there's a lot of S's we could do with S's. In fact, I challenged my kids with like five S's that they should be asking every day.
Yeah, you know? he just came up with this in the last year.
I'm gonna write them down, right?
Yeah,
now.
They're really good.
This is something I hope I remember them all since we're putting on, but say, have you savored God today? Or how have you savored God today?
What's that mean?
Well, just the idea that we're, you know, in the Psalms where it says taste and see that God is good. Mm. It's like, it's not just have I studied his word, which is important, and that's how I can savor, but it's like there are things in creation that I can look out and see. God, is there a good meal that I can have with my family? I'm savoring a moment with God and with others. And so how have I savored God today? How have I served others? Is there something I've done to serve others? Have I sweat today? There's neurological evidence of just taking a moment to sweat every day, 20 to 30 minutes, is like getting a shot of Prozac. I mean, it does help our brains. It helps everything about us. And just to be good stewards of our body. So savoring God, serving others. Have I sweat today? Have I showed gratitude today? Have I just stopped and said thank you? Mm-hmm. That I even woke up and had, you know, breath in my lungs. And I'm trying to think what the last one was. Have I
showered today?
Have I showered today?
That's for our 16.
That would be it. That would be the 16-year-old.
Yeah.
So
you think about it. I'm going to pause real quick because I want to ask you another couple questions because you're in still the parenting years, but I'm going to say this to our listener. We have a ton, and I mean a ton, of great parenting help at Family Life today, and you can get it. Here's how you get it. FamilyLife.com/parenting help. If you want help parenting teens, toddlers, adult kids, we've got it all. You guys know that. Mm-hmm. You develop a lot of that content. Even what you're saying right here, we'll put that on there. When you get your last
I've got it. I've got it.
Oh, you already
got
it?
Yes, I've got it.
Just let me remind you, familylife.com/parenting help. We will help you. All right, what is it?
So the last one. So have I savored God today? Have I served others? Have I shown gratitude? Have I sweat today? And how did I steward my time and my money?
Ooh.
Because that ultimately is where our heart is. You know, where our treasure is, there our heart is also. And I think with how we spend our time, and so much of it can go towards things that will make us consumers.
Yeah.
But have I taken time to study his word? Have I taken time to be with others? Have I taken, where does my time go? Because we can't get it back.
Yeah.
Same thing with money. Mm. Is it going to the right places? Is it going to places that would honor God?
And it is a good thing because in our culture today, our kids, I'm sure you've seen this, our kids are used to driving through Starbucks, getting the snacks, eating out a lot more probably than we were ever ate out.
Yeah, and definitely.
I know. And so not to be like, hey, you know, our generation was so much more better than you and you do all this stuff, but just where's your money going? Mm. And he's been doing a good, because our son right now is really into getting coffee. He just started driving. So he has that freedom to run through the drive-thru, to kind of have a little bit more freedom with that kind of thing. And so we're just challenging him. And again, not guilt, but how are you spending your money?
You want coffee, you get enough money to pay for your coffee.
Yeah, which he's working. But again, it all comes down to,
what are you doing?
You know, is it just kind of going out through the other end, or am I setting some of that aside?
Yeah, that's good.
Well, here's my question, you know, as we...
So that put us on the spot. I don't know if we'll remember
guys,
all five of those.
That was good.
The Jones.
Each other.
It's recorded.
He just came up with that about, I don't know, 6 months ago, 8 months ago.
Been that's good.
Giving
it
to our kids.
We did that whole together for our name, though. I like that vision.
I think that would be a fun exercise for a family to do.
Yeah.
And our kids would say, at that point of teenagers,
I'm laughing because I know just
they're
what
like, whatever, you know, they don't even care about it. And if we asked them, do you guys know what our mission statement was? They'd say, no. But
and honestly,
we knew
you
it.
Know what?
Yeah.
They don't need to know. You need to know. Parents
Why
need
is that?
To know.
Tell us about that, because I feel like I do feel a little sense of, I want to be intentional with my kids, and I fail more times than I'm successful. Mm. And then I feel super guilty about that. But even when I am intentional, I'm like, what I hear you saying is their response almost doesn't matter.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
Well, what I'm saying is, And we wrote a book on this, and the subtitle was The Secret to Parenting or something like that. I don't remember, but it was life-changing, I tell you.
No Perfect Parents, great book. Yeah, if you have not read it, I'm going to plug it for you.
It was the one secret that changes everything, and everybody thought the secret, we know, it's Jesus. And of course it is Jesus, but our thought was most parents, Christian or not, especially in the church, raise kids with no target in mind. Mm-hmm. We want to raise kids that are believers. We want them to be happy and successful. And all those things are wonderful. And we're like, the bar's too low. There's a higher call that God has for us. It's really Deuteronomy 6. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind. We want kids that love the Lord with all their heart, soul, and mind when they're adults. It isn't even like, are they that at 17? I hope they are, but if they're not, that's not the goal. When they're 30 or when they're 25, that's the goal. So like you said earlier, if they're making some bad decisions at 17 that teach them grace, guess what? They're headed toward the goal, which is sort of, so we wrote out a whole little mission statement. We actually called one of our sons with Bob Lupine on Family Life Today because he was having us talk about this, and he goes, do your kids know this? And we go, I don't think so. Let's call him.
We talked about it, but I don't think they'll know that this was our mission statement.
Yeah, he called Cody, our youngest, who's in ministry, and, you know, he's a pastor. And Cody goes, I have no idea. It was something good, but, you know.
One of the proudest moments of your life.
Oh, it was great. Mm-hmm. And the key is, it doesn't matter if they know, because then they're going to hold you to it,
but
and you're going to fail.
He is living out those things.
Yeah, ours was just, we put to train and launch L3 warriors who make a dent where they're sent.
What's L3?
And again, that's a Wilson thing that you go, what's L3? And very simple, is like the training part and the launching part are Deuteronomy 6 as you walk along the way. And that's sort of strategic, but love the Lord your God. So that's the target. So L3 was three core values at our church, Kensington, that we said—
That you helped create.
We created saying, if somebody came here and came to Christ and grew as the disciple, what would that look like? We got to sort of have it. And so we came up with this simple thing, love, lock, live. Love God and others. It's what Jesus answered when he said, what's most important? Love God and others. Lock arms in community so don't do it alone. And then live was live open-handedly. It's what you said earlier. It's all the gifts and talents I have, the money, everything. It's not for me. It's to be a blessing to others. Mm-hmm. So here's my question. All that to say, as parents of teens, what would you say don't do?
Yeah, we've only got a few minutes.
Or definitely do. Like, what not to do, what to do?
Man,
because parents tell me what to do.
Well, even as I hear you talking about that, there could be feeling like this, man, I haven't hit any of those bars.
Yeah.
Like I'm not even near target. I haven't even thought about that.
I haven't thought what the plan is.
I don't even
is.
Know what the plan is.
Right.
You know, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail, all that. You start to hear all that. And then I know where I go. My head just starts spiraling down into Depressionville, and that's where I like to stay. And then I'd say don't give up.
That's
don't
good.
Give up. And generally what'll happen is even when you present this kind of stuff and you come up with something cool and then you present it to your teenagers and they're just kind of they just eye roll or they just go, man, that's okay. You know, that's fine. And I would say keep at it. Keep pursuing relationship.
Yeah. And the part of that goes into if your kids have made a lot of mistakes or if they've disappointed you, to don't use shame and guilt.
Mm.
Make your home a place where they do not feel full of shame or feel guilt because they will go find love and acceptance other places.
Yeah.
And you don't want that. One of the things about Brian, we've always kind of joked that in our family, I was pretty good with the younger kids because I'm pretty black and white, yes and no. I was good with discipline. I could kind of say no and mean it, but I was still loving. And he sometimes has a hard time and he's more like, let's talk about this. And I'm like, how do you talk about it with a 3-year-old? But then when the kids got older and my black and white didn't work quite as well, and he's like talking with them about it and walking through them. And I'm like, wait a minute. I want to, no, they can't do that. And he's like, well, we need to talk to them about that. They really do need an answer of why it's right and wrong. And so it was great because I feel like we locked arms in that way, although with a lot of frustration.
Yeah.
Dave has that same gift. I feel like I'm like freaking out. And he's like, we're okay.
I know.
They're okay.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, just to even remember that God loves your kids far more than you do.
Yeah.
And to remember that that they're on their own path and they're on their, and their journey wasn't our journey. And they did things that we never had, well, we didn't do, but our hope was, is how do we keep pointing them back to the Father? Because we're going to be imperfect parents. So how do we keep pointing them back to the perfect parent?
And keep loving them and having wanting them back at our home. So have fun in your home.
Yeah. I'm just going to add this too, because I really struggled with this. I felt often like a failure.
Yeah.
Parenting. Like when they were little, because I would yell or whatever. And then when they get older, if they would mess up, I feel like just what you said, Brian, it's all on me. It's my fault. Mm-hmm. And there is a father of lies, the enemy of our soul, who constantly is bringing shame, guilt, all of that on us. I think God's cheering us on. And he gets rebellious children because of us. And so I love your tips. I love what you guys are saying. Don't you think it's helpful?
Oh, I think it's so helpful. I think for a lot of parents in that stage, it's a hard stage.
Yeah.
And to hear us even say, oh, it's a great time. They may not be feeling that right now. So I think your words are like, keep in the fight.
Well, and I'd say don't do it alone.
Right.
You know, there's others that are... Actually, it's like we feel shame about our kids, and I think the enemy gets that a foothold in our life. And so if we can actually let light into that darkness by just sharing it with other parents, it encourages you to realize, oh, we're not the only people that feel like terrible parents. And our kids are actually doing stuff that your kids are probably doing. And so all of a sudden, we go through it with community. That's what you said, lock in with others. That's why you lock in.
Yeah, the only thing I would add, and I don't know if this is a wrap or not, but I think in the teenage years, the thing our kids are watching more than anything is us.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, we can have all the rules and the curfews, you know, that's important, but they are literally watching our model. And they're going to do more what we do than what we say. It's so true, and it's scary to think, but they are watching. Do we control our anger? Do we control lust? Do we control the things we're asking them to control? Do they see it modeled?
Yeah.
And I think it feels like a weight, but at the same time, God meets you there and says, I can live in you in such a way that your kids are going to want to be what you are.
And I would just say, just to add, I know you want to wrap it. I would just say, do keep building into each other.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's too often that our kids end up coming in between our marriage, creating distance. And actually what they need now, especially more than anything else, is for your teens to see you guys still in love with each other, still pursuing each other, still, I mean, Jen made a comment the other day that our kids are like, oh, why do you say that? Like she was like talking about making out with me or something like that. And it's like, that seems gross to them. But underneath they're like, that's actually what they want.
Yep.
They want to see two parents that are in love with each other and that they want to stay in love with each other long after these kids are gone.
Yep.
You know, God designed these kids to live in our house rent-free for 18 years, and then they're supposed to be gone. And it's like, we want this, and we want them to actually live to that standard one day. Mm. That's what we want for their life. So for I think that's right on, Dave, what you're saying.
Mm. Finally, somebody agrees with me.
I agree with you, honey. We're Ann and Dave Wilson, and you're listening to Family Life Today. Aren't you glad that I am always agreeing with you?
I'm glad you agree with me. And if you want some help on parenting, you can go to familylife.com/parentinghelp, and you will find all kinds of great resources there. All right, I've got a quick question. How would you honestly rate your marriage on a scale of 1 to 10? I'm waiting. You rating your marriage? I tell you what, most of us are probably rating it lower than we want it to be. And we've got good news for you, because we've got a weekend that can help you get that marriage number higher.
Listen to what a wife of 27 years said about her experience at a Weekend to Remember marriage conference. She said, I found my best friend again. Just getting away together and focusing on only us was just what we needed. The sessions were timed perfectly, ordered intentionally, and feel a new hope going home. You know, Dave and I have been speaking for these conferences for 35 years, and we've seen so many marriages impacted by this weekend, and we want to see that for you, too. And now through January 20th, the registration will be half off, so you don't have much time. Sign up today.
Don't wait. Visit weekendtoremember.com to find a date and a location that works for you. You can go anywhere you want in the country, and you'll save 50%. Let me tell you, your marriage is worth it, and you want to get that number higher. So sign up today. So coming up next week, we've got Dave and Ashley Willis, some of our favorites, talking about naked and healthy. I don't even know if I'm going to tell you what that's about, but it's not just what you think. It's actually a holistic lifestyle that nurtures you mind, body, and spirit in your marriage. And trust me, it is one you don't want to miss.
And we'll see you back next week on Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a donor-supported production of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.